that heals me. Got to see, that's how I dream to be.
Well, Northbay Stacks and Jazz. I'm Tom Howell. She's AV with some new music on the board. I didn't know that one was on the list. I'm going to have to bring some over there. So bring some new stuff over there. We have S&P Futures. We've got a very quiet morning so far. After we were moving around yesterday, we dove pretty hard and came back on the close because of the China deal first off. And now China top negotiator cautiously optimistic about reaching trade deal. So that must have come out yesterday, so we came back a little bit. Right now we have S&P Futures down 50 cents. Dow Futures down $4. NASDAQ Futures down 375. So not much going on. We have you, buddy?
Yeah, I think I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Where are you? Are you this side or the other side of the pond?
I am the other side of the pond.
Don't you love this communication? Today's, you know, technical capabilities. We're talking to you like if you're in the studio, for God's sake. Well, in the studio,
I'm not partaking of the fantastic Stocks and Jocks World Headquarters Breakfast Buffet, which,
that's right.
You know, I really do miss.
Well, we do miss Fari bringing the sausage sandwiches, at least. So how are you?
Busy. It's a little different being a CEO, and I've got lots of ups and downs in a startup environment. So we're on sort of an up phase right now, but I'm sure there's a down phase coming any. Well, let's see. Probably in about another hour.
That's the spirit. That's the spirit. Never make it through. Although it is kind of hard to make it through a whole day. Certainly trading was like that, Lou. Even on your best day, there were 10 crummy trades. You know.
Oh, sure. So, sure. You know, well, with us, you know, I'm deciding to break my workload up into, you know, almost a crisis, post-crisis assessment, and then trying to anticipate the next crisis. So that's pretty much the way my day is going.
Well, it's,
the worst part about it is that, you know, my day here starts at, I don't know, 8 a.m. when I get in. It goes until 5 or 6 here, and then as soon as I get, you know, out of the office here, people in the U.S. are awake, and I'm talking to my partners in the U.S. So typically I'm doing work from 8 until, you know, 10 p.m. I finally got people trained not to call me after midnight or 1 a.m. European time. But, you know, for the first month and a half I was over here, I was being awakened pretty regularly at about 2 or 3 in the morning.
Right. Where are you? Do you have an office like in Rome, or where are you? Or don't you want to
say? No, I'm the office is in Bologna.
Okay. Well, that's cool. The good news is you missed one of the most miserable days we've ever walked into the show. It's raining, and the wind's got to be 40 miles an hour. I think it actually
that
might have taken care of
something, because I've come in on some pretty lousy days.
Well, last year, the 21 below day was pretty bad. Working across
I had one of those.
I think it might have taken out my Bear Stearns umbrella unless I can get it back together very, you know, carefully. That's a treasure.
Yeah. You know, that was, I put down that crappy weather and the inability to get cabs as the principal reason why Rahm Emanuel supported the rise of Uber and let Uber operate, notwithstanding the cab company's objections to it, the ride sharing, because it was simply impossible to get a cab. And I remember standing out on the street corner in exactly that kind of weather, pouring rain, about 45 or 50 degrees with the wind going like mad, and not being able to find a cab. And all of that changed when ride sharing started, and I put that down to the weather.
So it had nothing to do with his brother running a bunch of stock in the company.
That may have played a small role. I think the more likely effect was his one of his staffers supposedly standing out on the street corner getting absolutely drenched when she couldn't get a cab, and going to him and saying, "This is ridiculous. We need to allow rideshare in here so I don't have to do this." Well, that makes a difference.
They could have just issued a few more cab medallions.
Yeah, but even then, the ability to call, you know, to get the cab right there at your doorstep when you know, be able to see when it's going to come in. I mean, I was astounded when Uber and Lyft and the others rolled out. I was astounded at how slow the cabs were to pick up on what was going on and to update the technology in their, you know, in their systems. Over here, what happened was they blocked, because the Europeans have no problems about blocking entrepreneurship. They blocked ride sharing in a number of these cities, but the cab companies instantly organized their own ride sharing apps. So if I want a cab here, there's a ride sharing app that I can pull down that just taps into the local cab network and get you a cab usually within about 5 or 6 minutes. So it's pretty good.
Well, you know my feelings and how the thing all turned out, and one of the two things that Milton Friedman would always talk about, his two examples of how things shouldn't be, where one was the cab companies and why there would be limited amount. I mean, he could roll with the part that in London, you know, you might have to take a class, because I guess there's not a whole lot of numbered streets and it takes a long time to know where the hell you're going in London. And to a certain extent, that's the first person you see when you come into a new city. So you want to have some sort of a minimum quality to the service, I would think. But the other would be doctors, and how the doctors control the amount of med schools there were, which is interesting. But the idea that you would have permits, now whether you should have had them or shouldn't have them, probably never should have had them, but if the idea that you would have permits and all of a sudden on one day, just let anybody without a permit do what the guy with the permit's doing. I mean, it's not, you know, you have a certain amount of liquor licenses in the city. It would be interesting if some mayor just said, well, screw the guys with the licenses. If you want to serve beer on your front steps, go ahead. You know, I mean, it is.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think the person who sold people these licenses would have a responsibility to make sure people that, you know, in that world of selling licenses, which I don't like to be in, you think they'd have a responsibility of making sure other people, you know, didn't do the same service.
Well, and of course it gets, the question is, what's the value of the license? You end up with the cabs, you ended up with a state-controlled monopoly and, you know, or a state-sanctioned monopoly that literally kept the supply down. And, you know, ride-sharing at least, is arguably not dangerous now, or as dangerous as letting people serve liquor without any controls. Of course, in major cities, you run into the problem with, with what you see in New York, which is those cars jam the downtown. And so they've got an issue there, and I can understand that. And then maybe you want to enact some other way of controlling.
Our buddy Greg, he lives on my way home, so I'm going to say 3-4 nights a week I drop him off. Lou, if you did that for a month, you would have a totally different view of whether Uber and Lyft should be limited. Every car is an Uber or Lyft. They drive like cab drivers. The only problem is a cab driver, you know he's a cab, so you expect him to do crazy stuff, and you anticipate it. You don't know it's his livelihood. The Uber people pull right across in front of you, stop in the middle of the street, let people out, pull people in, and they think they're fine. You know, your whole view would change if you drove around in Chicago now. It's jammed with these people. But I mean, the cabs used to have, as you want, I mean, there was logic in old people sometimes, not all the time. Cab just didn't drive around downtown. There were spots for cab stands where you waited, not wandering around in traffic. There ought to be Uber and Lyft spots where you could park on the side of the street and not just be driving around.
Oh, I would be in favor of that. And yeah, because if you get 100 of those cars in the loop, all dropping people in mid-block, you can gridlock the city.
Yeah, I
get that.
So Manny Weber, your buddy, went out to the Bear game in L.A. last weekend. And they didn't rent a car. They're Uberites. So they're in their, they rented a house in Hollywood Hills, of all places. Get a load of this, Lou. They get an 8-bedroom house, huge swimming pool and everything. It's some rock guy that rents the thing out. They got like 10 guys in there, and it was $1,500 a night or something. That doesn't sound bad at all for that many people.
No.
Anyway, but guess how much the Uber was back and forth to the Bear game?
$75.
Oh, it's 4.5 times normal. Which, plus, because the have you ever been there to Coliseum? Because it's so hard to get in and out. To get out of there to go get your Uber was like a 3-mile walk.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've seen that. I've had that happen at the United Center. Where I've come out after a hockey game or after a Bulls game. And the, you know, you've got to go 2 blocks, 3 blocks, 4 blocks away, which of course at the United Center is not a great walk to pick up your vehicle. So I understand that, and I also understand the idea of surge pricing.
Yeah,
I get that.
Well, I know
to wrap up something we talked about last week, which is the Kaepernick situation. With this workout that he supposedly had in Atlanta. And just again, I would take my 30 seconds to bash Roger Goodell and the league for the way it was handled. And of course, Kaepernick pulled the plug on the workout because he wanted to do it on, you know, under his conditions and the NFL balked and so he walked.
What they want him to sign? They want him,
they accomplished absolutely nothing except giving that guy more time in a forum. And you know, if I was even considering bringing him in, that you know, temper tantrum and walkout just made me look at him and go, okay, this is all going to be about you, and you may have an adequate arm, but whatever your arm is and whatever your skills are, they are not worth the circus that's going to accompany you when you come into my team. And I think he just cemented in a lot of people's minds, most importantly the executives' minds who make the decision to bring him in, I think he just cemented in their minds the idea that this is not a guy you want on your club.
What did the NFL want him to sign while he went to the second place?
Yeah, I saw that, the waiver that they had. So I'm a little confused with some of the legal analysis on it. You know, I do employment waivers. I did employment waivers when I was an employment attorney for many years. And you know, this idea that you were somehow, I think what the claim was that it was a broader waiver than the normal injury waiver that they have you sign when you do a workout like that. And that this thing was arguably could be interpreted to say that if there was any kind of collusion up to that point, or if he believed there was any kind of collusion in the NFL not to bring him on up to that point, he waived his rights on that. I didn't read it quite that broadly, but I mean, maybe you could. It was not a standard waiver form, which I thought was stupid by the league. As I've said, I think the league has mishandled this. It's really interesting to find a situation where the employer has made the wrong decision every single step of the way, but I think that's what the NFL has done. I'm astounded by it because they are well advised by counsel, but they had just messed this thing up with this guy from day one, and this goofy workout situation was just another example of how badly their decision making is, how stupid.
Why didn't they just let him do it himself, Lou?
How stiff it is and unresponsive it is.
Why didn't they just let him do it himself? I mean, why would they have sanctioned a thing so he had to sign a waiver at all?
Yeah, no, they could have. They could have just said, and I don't know why they didn't. They were trying. I just don't know. You know, the idea that you sit here and say, we're going to set this workout up for him, a private workout with the clubs only. And I was going, have clubs asked to work him out? I mean, you know, the guy's a known quantity. What's the point of putting him back in front of these or making a spectacle of putting him back in front of the teams? The clubs can call him up and bring him in for an individualized workout with no media whatsoever and no fanfare and no circus opportunities. But Kaepernick had a circus opportunity and he turned this into one.
Yeah, it's.
I echo the words of Jason Whitlock, who said this has never been about cap about the NFL or social justice. It's always been about Kaepernick, and I think that was just reinforced with this idiotic workout.
Well, you know, Lou, I haven't had as much. I won't say fun. I will say I've gotten everybody, shall we say, feistied up. Even our buddy Kenny Polcari always has to leave right away because he's got to go somewhere else. And right at the tone stayed over like 2 minutes the other day to argue with me about if you really want to jam a lightning rod where the sun don't shine, all you got to do is talk about this kind of wealth tax. And I've been trying to understand both sides and understand where people are coming from. And even though I agree with everything.
Warren doubled down on it last night during the debate.
Right, what I'm saying is, even though I think it's the most ridiculous idea I've ever come across, the way she's doing it, I think that there is an awful lot, again, my new shtick, Lou, you know this, is I try and understand what people that come up with dumb ideas are seeing and why they came up with them in the first place. And if you look seriously at where these people, not just her, are coming from, and look at it from their point of view, doesn't make it a good idea, okay? And it didn't, but I understand where they're coming from. But like Spock, I don't agree with it, but I understand it. And it's almost like...
Yeah, I understand it. I understand it, too. And she's capitalizing on this inequality that... And this wealth that escapes or seems to escape the ken of a significant portion of the population who looks around and says, I should be a billionaire too.
No.
Why am I not?
See that,
well, it's not because I'm stupid or I'm badly educated or I have bad whatever. It's because people are manipulating the system.
And you know what? They're right. In your day, my day, Lou, I honestly believe that I never had any jealousy for anybody on the trading floor, did better than me, except for the two people that never, two or three or four I could name that never obeyed any rule. You know, they stayed in the booth and waited the order and followed the order out and always got in on every order. They should have been hung. But somehow or another, they did it for 20 years and did better than everybody else. And, you know, it's stuff like that pisses me off. But I honestly believe that our group, and I've talked to people even in the office, for God's sake, will say that, Joe was able to take advantage of this tax dodge over to Europe and not pay taxes, like, forever. And somebody in our generation will say, well, we need to change that law and see if it doesn't happen again going forward. That's our group will say that, without being generalization. Other people, not as old as us, and it's not just an old-young thing, will say, hey, screw that. The person who put the loophole in there is the guy who took advantage of it, and we're never getting the money back, and he's got an advantage that nobody else will ever have. He's like a noble in the 1500s in Britain that has, 48 square miles of property, and still his kids are living off it. You know, they see it differently, though, and you know what? They're right. If Jonas Salk is out there, fine. I don't care if the guy makes $1 billion. I don't even mind, a guy like Bill Gates. But then when Bill Gates starts to buy other firms and put them out of business, now I have a little problem with it. Okay, because now that's a felony under the Sherman Act. So, I mean, most people that are younger, in our age, we would say 80% of the people, just like me on the trading floor, 90% of the people were straight. The other 10%, I don't know why we couldn't spank, but we couldn't. With the young people say, wait a minute, I don't see 90% as being legit and we're chasing the 10%. I see it as maybe 90-10 the other way. They don't understand, Lou, why, for instance, when I go out, I just bought this coffee at the Dunkin' Donuts that I paid 0.5% for the White Sox Park so Jose Abreu can make $20 million in 19.5. I mean, that people are questioning that right now. They see these people with money and they see it.
But their response, what I see Warren doing, and I mean, the reason Warren's doing it is class warfare. And class warfare has always been an easy sell, no matter where you are. you know, the haves and the have-nots, and a certain, you know, a certain number of people. Well, let me put it this way. I believe it was Bernard Shaw that said, and you know, I can look this up. Bernard Shaw said, you know, a politician who robs Peter to pay Paul can always count upon the vote of Paul.
Right.
And that's what you're seeing.
Well,
I mean, I find it depressing that Warren is getting out here, you know, getting out there and getting support on this idea that we need to tax rich people, you know, because they didn't earn it, or it's somehow unfair that they have all this. And I pull it back to the same, it's the participation trophy mentality. Hey man, I participated. I got this little trophy. Where's my trophy?
Lou,
for,
I think you're,
you know, for
think,
being in the economy.
I think you're,
I participated.
You're missing it just a hair. And again, I've said this a couple of days this week, but I guess I'll repeat. My professor at the University of Chicago says that if you're a crook, you know, not a rapist or a murderer, because that's a different type of crime, if the amount you took divided by the chance of getting caught was the penalty, you'd make it such that most people wouldn't be crooks because they wouldn't gain anything, right? What these people see is, if you get a parking ticket in the city, they'll follow you into the men's room. And if you don't pay while you're on the can, they'll double the price. And it's that bad. Yet they see these other people making $90 billion, and the fine, if they're caught, is like $2 million, and everybody's laughing about it. I mean, it's, I mean, it, their view
I,
of the world.
You and I had this discussion last week, Chief.
Yeah.
You know my response.
Well,
right?
But what I'm saying is,
my response is, you put people in jail.
Okay, but
you don't fine them.
But you're,
you
you're,
do fine
you're,
them, but you put people in jail.
I guess what I'm saying is, I mean, I don't want to beat this up because we already did, is that when Tom Steyer came on, he was on CNBC the other day, and Ross Sorkin says to him, you're talking about class warfare. He goes, Andrew, there's been class warfare for 20 years. He goes, why do you
it's
think...
It's been longer than that.
Or 30 years. He goes, there's been class warfare. The one percenters have won. Now the other guys are saying you got to give a little back. He goes, I don't agree with this tax, but the idea that, you know, that Commonwealth Edison, again, they're my poster boy, whipping boy, because of the investigation going on. Lou, if they're $10 a month for 40 years, they overcharge people, I think... I don't mind the top 30 people having to pay something back and $1 million fine for the board members, and you can never be on a board again. Well, then we'll never see anything like that. But God help you, if a parking ticket.
Well, and so why is that? So what we end up with is an idiotic plan that says the government knows what's best to use this money, so we're going to tax. I'm sorry.
Right.
You know, I object to that for a couple of reasons, but not the least of them is the fact that giving the government more tax revenue, you might as well be setting it on fire. I would rather have it in the hands of billionaires who are donating it to charity or buying yachts or buying airplanes or buying giant houses and hiring an army of people to work at them. I would. I that's a better economic use of that money.
Let's not go there to this line between wealth and philanthropy. I mean, What are they buying indulgences, Lou? I mean, come on. I mean, I don't
care. I'm not even putting a moral element in this.
Well, you're absolutely right.
I'm just saying a more effective use of that money is in private hands than it is in public hands. I think the government, the idea that you would tax, Bill Gates at 90% of whatever, have him pay $100 billion in taxes and then take that revenue into the U.S. government. I'm going, no.
No, what I'm talking about, Lewis.
The bang for the buck on that money is substantially less than it is in Bill's hands generating interest for loans or being philanthropic or whatever he does with it. I don't care what he does with it.
All right.
Whatever
he
does with it is going to be better than what the U.S. government
is
doing.
Maybe so, but I'd like to see it get back to the people who, if Commonwealth Edison did that, I want everybody's electric bill to be $25 what it should have been, minus 10 for the next 10 years.
That I'll buy into, but that's not what they're talking about.
Oh, God, no. That's what I'm saying. When you stole it, people think you stole it fair and square. That's the weird part of it. I mean, people look at the, you know, I don't we're at the age, Lou, I've never used it, but I look at this Viagra thing. Nothing pisses me off more.
Look at this Viagra thing.
What I say?
What Viagra thing are we looking at?
Well, they had a patent. They had
a patent. Dared to ask.
They had a patent for 17 years. All right, which is a friggin' long time in today's world. Now, why? I mean, if you had patent laws now and you put them together, nobody'd have anything for 17 years, especially in a drug area where you know people. So the thing is, $40-some a pill. Anybody knows that the generic could be $5. Well, somehow or another, through the right law firm, they get 2 more years on the patent. Why, Lou? Why do these guys need $35 a pill times a gazillion pills for another 2 years after 17 years? I'm sure somebody put the loop. They wrote the loophole. Who wrote the friggin' loophole? You know, all of a sudden they get to, why? And people look at that and go, that's why we don't have any dough and they do. You know, it's unconscionable to me. Why would you possibly be able to get 2 more years out of a patent? You know, and I'm sure guys are doing it on other drugs too.
Then you know, and again, that ought to be front and center in front of Elizabeth Warren, and say, hey, Liz, rather than worrying about
we'll talk about this after the break. SP Futures down 175.
Worry about this.
Dow Futures down 20. Remember that, Lou. Remember your thought, but we'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tomachi's AV, Angelica Vlasenko on the board. SP Futures down 3 now. NASDAQ Futures down 13.50. We've been real quiet all morning. Dow Futures down 31. Macy's came out with earnings that were bad. It's down 82 cents. Trading 14.20. Target was up like 15 bucks though yesterday. Target seems to be doing better than just about anybody else. I'm not sure why that is, but they are. Don't have a huge Target shopper, but they seem to be having the a blend between the online growth and the stores still doing pretty well. So they seem to be hitting down the middle there, which nobody else seems to be able to do. DAX down 15, that's 0.1%. FTSE down 52.7. CAC around down 9.2. The action, however, is over in Asia. Nikkei down 109, that's 0.5%. Shanghai down 7.2%. That's not where the action is. Hang Seng down 422, which is 1.6%. Hong Kong's a problem, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better. We're going to get a lose read on that at some point here, because he's got his finger on the pulse of the world more than certainly I do. 10-year rates, 1.755, so they've been down. They got up to 1.8 something, backed off. One minus 0.33, Japan minus 0.11. Gold down 360, 1470. Gold can't seem to get out of its own way here. It's locked into this 1470, 1480 number. Silver down 6 cents, 1705, and it's right around 17 bucks. AV, what do you got? Traffic, weather, sports. The weather is lousy. I'll give you help there.
Good morning, everyone. It is 6:36 in Chicago, 46 degrees currently. Don't want to disappoint you right off the bat, but it's really harsh inclement situation out there. Rainy and very windy, about 40 miles per hour. The rain will remain till afternoon. After, the day will stay cloudy and windy, with the highest of the day 54 and the lowest 29. In Phoenix, it is 53 degrees right now. A few thunderstorms are expected throughout the day. Overall, the day will remain cloudy. The highest of the day will be 62 and the lowest 51. In traffic, we have a report of a stalled truck on I-90 before Kenfield Road. Center lane is blocked, which causes significant delays on Kennedy Expressway going east. Another accident on Tri-State I-294 north before Cermak Road. Three lanes blocked due a rollover car. Rather than that, Adams West, Stevenson North, Eisenhower looks pretty busy going east and north. And in sports, we have Bulls that beat Pistons, 109-89.
Those would be the Pistons.
Pistons, okay.
Pistons like in your car motor, a piston. Get it, Detroit, make the cars the Pistons.
Mm-mm.
You don't get it. All right, that's fine.
I like Pistons better.
I like Pistons better. Lou, regarding your not so much friend Elizabeth Warren, you know what the odd part of this whole thing is? Every one of these people,
other than she's a complete phony and a fraud.
I get that part, but my point is, you look at the strategy. Cut away the outer skin. It's absolutely Trumpian. It's no different than him going crazy on the drug firms and Boeing, and how he was going to make, going to get those people back in line, because look how they were screwing every man, and he hasn't been able to do anything there. And she knows the beauty about this wealth tax You can get everybody charged up about it, and it's a non-starter. It's going nowhere. Just like Trump's reform of the drug industry.
Again, she's just, right now, what's happening, you saw this in the Democratic debate last night, they are just moving themselves further and further to the left to appeal to the more extreme elements of the primary voting demographic that's going to show up at those primaries. And so that's why you have these crazy positions being taken by people like Beto O'Rourke, although thank God he's out of it now. Some of the others. And frankly, it's why Tulsi Gabbard is getting savaged at these things, because she's not going in that direction. She's trying to drag it back to the center. I mean, Biden, last night, although the clips I saw of him, he looked like he'd been concussed, hit in the head with an NFL helmet. He's repudiating all kinds of things that he was involved in back in the 90s and just backpedaling as fast as he can to play to this very liberal demographic that they think they've got to get to. And this class warfare stuff plays very well with her. I'm sure she knows she's not going to go anywhere with it.
I have another question for you. Some of my extreme people on the right and on the left, once in a while, somebody agrees with me, Lou. It is rare, because a lot of times people that I'm talking to, I agree with, but I never let on to them because I want to learn what they know and why they think. So I'll make believe I'm on the other side when I'm really not. But the thing that seems to have changed for me here, not for me, but for the, again, in our day, if you were a lefty, you swung over there, you got a couple checks, you held your nose, and you ran back to the middle where the votes were. Same way on the other side. But what Trump did is, if your opponent is so despicable like Hillary was, the trick is just show up with your 25%. Doesn't matter if they're left, right, if they're dog catchers, what they are. Show up with 25, and then you got people like me sitting there going, I don't want to vote for either one of them. You take your chances on getting over a third of the rest of the people. And he won with that, and he probably will win with that again. But it's a totally different strategy. And if you notice, Warren is going left of Bernie to get rid of Bernie. She wants to show up at the polls with the same 25% rabidly in her camp, whether they be students, God knows who they'll all be, rabidly in her camp, and she's willing to take her chances on the 50 in the middle, where people like me are sitting there going, who's worse, flipping a coin?
I think it might be a little different calculation. I think she knows that a 45-48% of the population will never ever vote Republican, and it doesn't matter who they are. This is the Mitt Romney calculation too, and it doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter. I mean, I'm sorry. All the stuff about how bad Trump is and da 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 da. I'm sorry. I call BS on that. The Democratic mindset is much more lockstep than the Republican, and so 47% of the population is going to vote Democrat, and it doesn't matter who they run, and she knows that. So what she's got to do is break out the group that's going to vote in the primaries.
I think she's
got to lock them down and get some momentum in the primaries, get some momentum in the delegate count, and then when she finally surfaces as the final nominee, she'll get that 47%, and then she can go to work on whomever else is left.
I have huge disagreement.
That Northeast primary day, I think it was in June, where Donald Trump won every single county in every state in that primary. And I think his appeal and what he did was he tapped into exactly what you see in that New York Times editorial that was published today by McCarthy that I tweeted out and then I picked up on and posted up on Facebook, where he said, Trump with what's happening, what happened in Ukraine, is just another example of Trump tapping in to this widespread dissatisfaction with the government. Positive, negative. The widespread dissatisfaction with leadership castes. Republican, Democrat. And he tapped into that. And that's what gave him the win. There maybe was a 25% rabid dog, you know, group that was going to vote for him no matter what.
No, I don't think it was. I don't think they were there at the
remember,
election.
He's driven wedges into the Republican voting base. There are guys that are bona fide conservatives that have been conservatives for years and Republicans for years that will never vote for him, Chief. Ever.
Well, I've been a Democrat for years, and I would never vote for Hillary or for this lady.
You know,
I mean, but well, I don't see it.
I don't see it quite as much with Hillary, with the Hillary move. What I saw with the Donald is him latching into this dissatisfaction and holding on to it. And his political genius, if that's what you want to call it, is he drags everybody down into the swamp with him, everybody down into the mud with him. And down in the mud, you get a pretty good picture of what's actually going on. This Ukraine thing. Jonathan Turley writes a month and a half ago that if the Democrats go after Trump on Ukraine, what's going to happen is you're going to see the curtain lifted and all of the double dealing, the Clinton double dealing, the Biden double dealing, the John Kerry double dealing, it's all going to be out there. And the guy who's going to come out of the mud pit looking the best is Trump.
I don't believe
it's
that.
It's not going to be these other people. You're going to find,
if you go back 15 years, like when this is over, if we had a president that had some morals at all and some other people out there that had some as well, which I don't think anybody has, doesn't appear, you would end up with a 10-person commission with a Supreme Court justice leading it to study for the last 20 years where our money goes someplace, where it all ends up. And you're going to find criminals on both sides of the aisle. You're going to find people whose livelihood to follow our money some places and grab it. But we're not going to do that. The British might, because they actually have a moral fiber. We won't, because we don't care. Because we think somebody who did that is cool. We actually cheer people in this country that screw the government, and then we're pissed off they screwed the government. We don't know. We're the same group that can't stand. This morning I was something about they're going to get some lady who showed somebody her breast, and she's liable to get 10 years as a child something. A child in danger. She got to register as a sex offender. Because she showed somebody her.
No, I thought they were putting those people on in libraries now.
What I'm saying is we sometimes haven't figured ourselves out, Lou. I mean, I would agree. I think that the two people that I thought had the smartest read on Trump were your buddy Newt and Michael Moore. Newt says he's just the follow on of the Obama situation. They couldn't stand Washington. They elected a guy who looked like he was a fresh face. He's only been there a little while, didn't have a chance to be corrupted. Guess what? He was corrupted. So now they took a guy who's just a brash dude from the outside, going to come in and kick ass and take names, and now he's getting corrupted. And Michael Moore, his film on why Trump was going to win was genius, Lou. I mean, I'm not a Michael Moore fan, but so what? People can do really good stuff, even if you don't necessarily like them. He had to do with how the American middle class has gotten their ass kicked in this class warfare for really 25 years. Can't wait to beat up on unions. It doesn't mean the price of the car ever went down. It just means the guy up top got paid more. I mean, if the price of the car went down, everybody would be for it. But it didn't. It went up. And the money just went other places. I mean, that sort of thing. So, anyway, his thing was, the last thing somebody has in this country, the union guy, he's lost his bass boat, he's lost his car, he's lost his house, his wife took off on him. The last thing he's got is his vote. Before he puts his foot in the grave, he's going to vote for this guy because he's at least promising to kick some ass on the people he hates. And now this guy gets in there and he's just another, for lack of a better term, he's just another Obama, causing trouble and not doing anything he promised to do. And, the people that are actually running the place, Lou, must be so powerful. The people who own these drug companies, the people who own the defense industry, that the president is just entertainment for people. And I honestly believe that. I might be a deep state guy, but I'm not the deep state guy like the, you know, that Soros and the Democrats run it. That's baloney. If I'm a deep state guy, why do I care about what party I'm in? If I got that much power. If I'm mayor of Chicago, do I care if I'm a Democrat or Republican? I'm an emperor, for God's sake. I mean, I don't know why people don't get that part, but that's my opinion. But, anyway, so tell me I'm all wrong on this. Are you there? Do we lose Lou?
And if you're not part of us, you know, you're something else.
Yeah. Does anybody, do you think the guy who chases, we have a common buddy, we had somebody from one of those, first time I met one of these people, Lou, it had to be it was in the 80s. And the guy was one of these international tax guys. He'd renounced his citizenship from wherever the hell he grew up, and he was a citizen of the Isle of Man, not Isle of Man, of Monte Carlo, same thing. And he had a Monte Carlo passport he's flashing around, and his whole thing was he was going to be on the trading floor before 1984 because you could roll tax stuff. So he sets up a bunch of people on the floor. Lou, I never met a bigger sleaze bag in my life, for God's sake. You know, he's one of these guys that just went from country to country as a consultant, as an insultant, telling people how to screw the next country out of their tax or setting this up there and that. The predecessor of the Microsofts, everybody else setting all stuff overseas and not paying any taxes. He was like one of the leading guys.
Yeah, he's the predecessor of that Panama law firm.
Yeah, well, and the press. Yeah, and then, you know, and Starbucks. You know, remember 1,000 Starbucks in London, and yet all the profit was in Amsterdam, where they got 2 Starbucks. I know I'm exaggerating, but hey, come on, it doesn't pass the smell test. But now somebody would say, "What do you mean? There's a loophole. Let's close the loophole." Lou, they wrote the loophole. For guys, that's what I'm saying. That's what people today they don't. You and I might say, "Let's close the loophole. Let's go forward." The other people go, "It ain't never getting closed. It has been closed my entire lifetime." They'll write themselves another one. We can't have people be involved in government writing themselves laws where they make so much money compared to other people that you'll never look back. I mean, you'll never look back.
This is what Trump taps into, and this is what he taps into in Ukraine. And this is why I think ultimately this idiotic impeachment move by the Democrats is going to backfire because what is coming out and what came out yesterday with the indictments in Ukraine and the other activity, what comes out is this picture of our leadership cast, Republican, Democrat, take your pick. It's all the same people enriching themselves off of special deals and influence peddling and all of this. That's what's being uncovered. That's what's going to get blown up.
That's what you and I have suspected forever.
The president can credibly say, "Listen, yeah, I wanted Joe Biden fried in banana oil, but I also wanted Joe Biden's corrupt dealings blown up so that everybody had a look at it." And that's what's going on right now.
Lou, I don't know if I asked you this last week. Do you think Nixon would ever have been impeached without a tape?
Without that 18-minute gap?
Without the tape being there at all, much less the gap.
I think that there was enough criminality in what he was doing that I think he would have been impeached if it had gone forward. I think what happened was that, you know, the members of both parties went to him and said, "The House is going to impeach you, and if it gets to the Senate, you're toast. And here's why, you know, because he was pulling levers that he shouldn't have been pulling, and I think that's clear. So I think there probably was enough there to get him. You know, the break in at Ellsberg's office, the whole thing with the committee to reelect the president stealing around, and then his efforts to protect those people. I think. That would have proceeded even without the tape.
Everybody, every attorney I've asked has said somewhat the same thing. They all say they think they would have got him eventually, but they wouldn't have got him then without the tape. It would have been months later.
The tape makes it a lot easier.
Look at what's happening now, the 50 years of presidents, and people on the right that snipe at the left, and the people on the left that snipe at the right, every single president, right and left, since 1974, it said, "Look what happened to the last guy who had a tape. So we're not going to have any stinking tapes." and look at, and not, virtually not, no Americans know this, Luke. Not very many. But I listen to what's, I don't even listen to the impeachment stuff. All I know is at the end of the day, I can tell you what the news is going to be by not having a tape. There's going to be one side saying, look at the transcript, President Big Bazoo, look at the transcript. The other guys are going, I was on the call, I don't recognize that transcript, I heard something else. Guess what, Lou? That's exactly what people, and at the end of the day...
It has nothing to do with the transcript now.
Well, I'm saying at the end of the day...
The transcript, the report of what was said is generally agreed to be accurate, the words that were used. The issue now is what people thought about it, and that's why the Democrats' case is going off the rails.
I think that the Democrats are going to come
out... I thought this and I thought that. Did you talk to the president? No.
I think the Democrats are going to come up empty. Okay, but I'm going to say the geniuses that said let's never have a tape again were geniuses, because all this I mean, how many people have you heard say, you know, I overheard, I was on the call, and this is what was said. Now, and the other side say, look at this, all this stuff would be gone if there was a tape. You just listen to it.
No, it wouldn't have been because again, the president. The president has a very imprecise way of speaking. He speaks in a very, very, cyclical, circular manner, and throws adjectives in that don't necessarily apply. And so it would still come down, Chief. It would still come down to, what did you think the president meant, you know, by the language, do me a favor? Everybody says he says
well,
that.
I used to watch. I'm now with your
what
new
do you think
big,
you meant by that?
Your new big time job.
And so we get all these interpretations. What you see again coming out of this, where you have at least coherent testimony like Vindman's, is a bunch of bureaucrats who didn't agree with his foreign policy.
I'm saying
and believe that they ought to be setting it.
I'm thinking
and that they knew better.
Well, you know what? In his case, they probably do. No, but what I'm saying is they don't get
a vote on it. That's not their job.
Lou,
you know, he's the elected representative. That's what he gets to do.
Lou, nobody elected an emperor. If somebody is dumb enough to decide that they don't.
That's where you're wrong. That's where you're wrong, Chief, because the way our federal executive power has grown, as demonstrated by President Obama's refusal to enforce selective laws and set up programs by fiat. I mean, what's happening with Trump? With Trump is exactly the same thing that happened with Obama.
Let's not go,
except it's being done
away with,
driving the press crazy.
How many laws do you think there are in this country? You know better than me. Every person, and I'm not justifying this, I would say the first thing we'd do if I ever got any close to the Oval Office is say, let's get rid of all the laws we don't care about anymore. But they don't. And why, when Ronald Reagan came in, he just said, for 8 years, we're not going to, they didn't prosecute an antitrust case. Now, what do the people do in the antitrust department for 8 friggin' years, Lou? When it was, what, did they come to work and do what? They play tiddlywinks?
Here's, again, I go back to this New York Times editorial that was published today. This is what he was elected to do. He was elected to come in and break up this cabal of public, private, corporate back scratching and money transfers that were driving our foreign policy in places like Ukraine. And I mean,
don't even start
just how up to our elbows
my extreme
corrupt government.
My extreme right wingers are not only past the part that maybe Trump isn't as guilty as being worse than any of the other guys. Now is he was actually a campaigner of reform over there. That's such a crock of BS, Lou.
I'm not going to say that. What I'm going to say is he was frustrated. It's perfectly. All I'm going to say is this: what he was after, in terms of information and in terms of effort by the Ukrainian government, was perfectly consistent with our national interest. It benefited him directly as well. But the failure of the Democrats in this whole impeachment process has been to separate out whatever his personal interests were from the national interest of having this corruption, apparent corruption, dealt with.
There's got to be 100 people over there he could have picked on if he actually cared about the corruption, but he only cared about the guy who was running against him.
He focused on what was in his crosshairs and directly in front of him. I'm sorry, were you asking for some thoughtful analysis of this problem from Mr. Trump? You know you're not going to get that. That's not what he's elected to do.
By the way,
he's
I hope the weather
to bring a sledgehammer into things like this.
By the way, what is the weather like in Bologna? It's got to be better than here.
It's warmer, but it's cold and rainy.
It's warmer, but it's cold.
Yeah, I mean it's in the 40s and 50s with mostly rain and cloud.
So what if I was on the witness stand and you were grilling me as in your old job, and I were to say, "Hey, it's pretty warm up, but kind of chilly."
Well, I would say you asked me what it was like. It's warmer than it is in Chicago,
okay.
But it's still cold and chilly, cold and wet.
So I'm gonna miss you. So if I come over to Italy someday, are you gonna be around?
Maybe that was a, maybe I was maybe I'm sorry. Maybe I was channeling the president.
Oh God, Lou, good stuff as usual. Hey, if I come over one of these days, it's on my bucket list. Are you still going to be there? Can we like have breakfast or something?
I don't know, but I can take you to some of the finest restaurants I've ever eaten in my life, and they're all over the place.
Good for you. All right, buddy, take care of yourself. SP Futures down $1, NASDAQ Futures down 8. I'll be right back. Stacks and Jacks, Mr. Fari Hamzy.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, if they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. It might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at ptisecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@ptisecurities.com. That's J-O-H-N at ptisecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Allen. She's AV on the phone. Right up on the board, we have Mr. Farhi Hamzy on the phone in a couple minutes. He's making a trade. He's going to call in a couple of minutes. S&P futures down 150. NASDAQ futures down 11. We were down reasonably heavily yesterday at some points during the day, and then came back on the close sort of as we always do, because if you run down on a China trade story, you know what the next one's going to be the other way. So if you were short yesterday and made some money, you would... I pity the fool who wouldn't cover. I mean, to think you're actually going to get 2 days in a row without somebody saying, don't worry, it's going the other way. So that's already started this morning. We're now, allegedly, the Chinese have invited us back over there for another round of talks. Another interesting piece of news this morning. Charles Schwab is in talks to combine with TD Ameritrade. I'm going to say buy TD Ameritrade. I would say that, since everybody knows that I'm a fan of competition, I would say that the Justice Department would say don't even think about it, but that would be me, because I'm sure they're going to tell you how much better the world would be if they were just allowed to be together. They have $5 trillion in combined assets. Now, everybody knows you can't run a firm with only $2.5 trillion in assets. I mean, come on. How could you do that? It's a, it's an odd world we're in, and I will say this before Farhi comes in is, out of all the news that is around the world that makes it difficult to trade these days, when I say difficult to trade, I mean everybody knows and by the way, I really believe that people should, and we have a few spots left, people should really be thinking about putting their portfolio in some sort of a protected motif, at least for part of it. We've had a nice run in a lot of areas, but don't kid yourself. I mean, in the sense of the market, Everybody keeps blowing smoke up there behind about the market is up. This is a simple fact is at the beginning of the year, I put an awful lot of money to work for people. And everybody knows I'm as honest as the day is long. And I picked with the various clients, you know, some people like some stuff and some people like other stuff. We picked, I said, you know, why don't we talk either about the S&P or the QQQs, which has got, you know, the fangs in it more highly represented. Or the Russell, because the Russell had been lagging, okay, and if you normally expect the market to break out, sometimes the theory is that the small caps want to lead, or have traditionally wanted to lead. And you had a situation where your energy companies, which pay nice dividends, were totally lagging, and oil was down, and looking like it would maybe a bounce. Anyway, between various people and various conversations, we put some people in the Qs, some people in the Russell, some people in the XLE, which is the oil part, and we put some people in the S&P. And I'm going to say the people in the Qs have had a very nice year. The people in the Russell is up like a dollar from when we put it in, when we put the stuff in February or January. It's like nowhere. The XLE is down significantly. So if you... And the S&P is up pretty good. So the Qs are way up. The S&P is up pretty good. The Russell, which most people would think would have been the leader, given where you were in February, is going absolutely nowhere. And the oil companies, who you thought, you know, we couldn't, if the market keeps going, they got to come back some, are basically getting their ass kicked. So there's an incredible unevenness around the market. So to just say the market is up this or this, if you take a few of the stocks out, like Apple, and Apple's up $100 on the year. So obviously it's cap weighted. No, well, it's not cap weighted in the Dow, but $100 in the Dow is $800. So that's 800 of the Dow is Apple. Okay. So, and Microsoft keeps running up as well. So, I mean, if you missed the whole idea you know, now that you know, just going forward, just, you know, be anywhere you want to be and you'll make money. Careful, because it didn't work this year. Be anywhere you want to be part. And we go through iterations in the market. And I can remember, 4 or 5 years ago, when the market started to run up, whatever year it was, all you had to do is if Apple or something went up ahead 1 week or two, is looking around for
stuff. Hi there, I'm back.
How are you? Where did you go? Out to the yacht?
How are you?
All right, how are you?
Sorry, I was running a little bit late. It's been a crazy week.
Yes,
and then
sir.
I got up late, and then I had to get Tico off for a walk before you make a mess here.
All right, buddy.
So, what's going on? How do you like the hearings yesterday? You know, it's funny, at my cigar club, the Trumpkins are very, very quiet. Almost they don't even show up. I mean, they're there, but they're not talking.
They're not going to...
They're stunned.
They're stunned at the amount of corruption at every level of our government whenever we send money someplace.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think...
I'm listening to the issue that on Facebook, on Twitter, on LinkedIn, I've been talking for 2.5 years, this government is bust. It's just not a time. And it started with Comey. When he fired Comey, that was a trigger on me. I said, I'm a Republican, but I can't follow this guy anymore. He's done. I was there because I didn't want Clinton to come in. But now, I'm going to defend the Constitution. And look what is happening, one step at a time. At Mueller, these guys got so excited because Mueller's technically, he looks senile. Read the damn report, the details. So, by the way, I've been recording like 18 hours a day on two TiVos, one for backup, just in case it tells them they're brand new, but just to start, there's no way to back up. And obviously, I got to catch up with the detail over the weekend, but I catch the analysis at night.
Hurry, I'm making a prediction.
There's no more discussion about substance. They can't. There is no defense on the substance. It's all a stupid process, and they're all, as I posted just this morning, they're auditioning for the next, next regeneration of a Trump News Network. Maybe broadcast from jail. We don't know.
Well, I'm gonna make a prediction, Farry, that because there is no tape, this will not succeed.
It doesn't matter. He statistically, there's no way he can win. I don't want him to be. I would love to if the Senate would have enough balls. To come to their conscience and their senses and say, this is not a role model we want for our kids and grandkids. And look what's doing to the country, look what's your environment, blah, blah, blah. Within the context of Republicanism and conservatism, that we don't want, so we're going to boot them out. No. But the best one is, statistically, you may agree with me or disagree, but I think you will, given your background, you will agree with me. Statistically, there's no way for him that he can win electoral college next time.
Oh,
look,
yeah,
the last three elections, the 2019 elections, Louisiana, Mississippi, there was another one, Virginia, completely wiped out all the people he talked about. Hey, when I'm going to help you. There is, and that, I think that's what maybe the Senate Republicans will come to the Senate and think, if he comes, it could be actually a liability. Why do we want
that? I know that
campaign for us next year.
I'm not an old guy, sitting in a rocking chair being a dreamer here. I don't think that the stuff that happened in the Ukraine comes up to be high crimes and I don't want to see him thrown out.
It's bribery and it's extortion.
But, okay, all right, what I'm saying is...
get your head out of the sand, I tell him.
I would rather have the system work in the sense that some other guy in the Republican Party runs against him, or the Democrats come up with somebody decent.
Oh, I agree with you. Warren is a disaster. I 100% agree with that sentiment. I don't want Warren coming in.
No, I want the...
I'm not sure we're ready to elect a gay guy, okay? So, I come from a country that's very anti-gay. Okay, fine. But, hey, this is America, right? Okay, the guy is gay, it's fine. Does he do his job? Okay, that's fine. Give him a chance. But I don't think the populace is ready to elect a gay guy, okay? Or, for that matter, we're not ready to elect another African-American. I don't think so, okay? But so the only savior for the Democrats is Bloomberg.
Well, it's very true. I mean, it could be true.
That's it. Because if he comes in, it's Patton on a Panzer column.
I have a question for you.
That's what he would be. Now, would he want to go that far? But the good part about it is that he's we're clean, other than having, I don't know, 25 different girlfriends at the same time or whatever.
I would say...
That's Bloomberg, you know?
I would say that...
But he's a real billionaire.
Bloomberg,
hello?
I would say that Bloomberg might be...
He won't hide his taxes.
No, but I think Bloomberg might be the right dude for 4 years to where the parties get themselves back together.
Yeah, just clean up. Yeah, one term only. And the reason why, he's got executive experience. He ran a very stellar competition. Gil Caffrey endorsed my book, used to trade with Bloomberg, but he was a folly. I know the story of Bloomberg. Okay? He took out that money and started this idea because Saudi didn't want it. They basically laid him off. He went to Merrill Lynch. They took a small position because nobody had done bonds. Look what they have done. Boom. Okay?
Yeah,
that's A. B, he what? How long was he a mayor in New York? 2 terms or 3 terms?
Whatever the statute,
okay, you know,
whatever the statute is.
What did they put in your coffee today?
I don't know if it's a... he ran up
it's
against...
Is that the coffee? Was it?
No,
he's drinking tea now?
He ran up against term limits. I don't know if it was 2 or 3 terms.
Okay. But running New York is not no easy task.
No.
You agree?
Oh, yeah.
As a city, as a mayor, that's not an easy task. I submit to you, anything could come even close to it would be L.A. But I don't think so.
All right, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Worldly wise dude...
The second one is free.
Well, worldly wise dude that you are...
Please, don't go there. No, what are you greasing me for? Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me stand up straight. Okay, yes.
I think I can handicap the trade negotiations between...
Oh, Don, no deal. There is no deal. Deal or no deal. Remember the skit from Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
The bimbo that they brought in that said this is Trump's new girlfriend, and she was from Sarajevo, and she was in no deal or no deal. Okay, listen. Go back. I posted this on Twitter, okay, about 2 days ago. It's interesting you bring this up. Okay, go back to the negotiation where it fell apart. It started and immediately fell apart in April, okay? There's a talk now that in the White House, trying to go back to that as a benchmark, saying, what do we need to fix this thing or get this thing started? Look what happened in April. You know why? Because they're panicking. They're understanding the Chinese going to wait them out. You and I have discussed this. These are engineers running the Politburo, and there's no elections. Think about that concept.
Yep.
High IQ, no politics, no elections, because the Red Army and their whatever constitution, whatever they have, the whatever Mao Zedong's declarations, says we have no elections. We're not going to worry about what populist belief is. So what are they going to do? They're going to play their cards.
Actually,
very carefully. So far, look what they have done. Look, listen. We can't even win over North Korea. Forget China.
By the way, that was not my question.
Yes, sir.
You took the ball and ran, but it was the wrong play, shall we say.
Pardon me?
You said you took the ball and ran with it, but you ran off tackle. You're supposed to go around end.
Please. I play baseball. I don't do football.
All right, my question
was,
I think a lot of us have a somewhat of a half-assed read on the negotiations back and forth and who's winning and how much... I think how much money people are making trading the front run of the information. But the thing I absolutely cannot put my finger on, Fari, and it seems like it's growing and it's going to run past the trade negotiations, I cannot put my finger on this Hong Kong thing.
You think it is going to happen or it's not going to happen?
I don't know. The thing in Hong Kong that seems to be getting more and more out of hand.
Correct.
I don't
know. Another factor. Correct.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know how to handicap that one.
And, we have a two-sided issue, okay? One is the commerce, the other one is human rights. And notice when all of this is getting more even instigated, when the attention is moving to the impeachment hearings. Why didn't this happen 3 months ago? Hong Kong has been this mood for a year or so. It's nothing new. It's just going back and forth. But they didn't respond. They didn't escalate it up on the Chinese side. All of a sudden, over the weekend, the Red Army guys were in before the fires. And now they got the fires, too. And the university issue. You think that they don't play their cards right? They waited at the right time. They said, okay, now we're going to toughen up.
Is there some chance that our stand with the vote in the Senate and all the other stuff, that all of a sudden this overruns the trade negotiation and this becomes way more... way more of a political, I'll use the term, spat.
If it's not solved by itself, in my own little tiny puny mind, okay, in my view of things, which is not very either popular or necessarily correct. Having said that, if that subsystem, that black box called Hong Kong, doesn't work itself out on its own volition, then you're going to have an interaction with the trade and could consume the trade black box.
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Yeah. I mean, listen, this is not part of it. Let me say, part of it is not my own idea at all. I talked to a number of fairly decent intellectual types on foreign policy, either on the West Coast or the East Coast, either New York or L.A., and that's their consensus that, and one of them is actually very close to Steve Bannon, okay? That's the fear. I should have said that. Can you bleep that out? Thank you.
Well, I mean, that's my concern, and now that we, and I'm not saying we should have, I'm agreeing with him, the Senate says, you know, we're with the demonstrator, we're this, we're that, and all of a sudden, does that imply that one of these Monday mornings we wake up and find that there's...
It's going to be Sunday night.
Well, whatever. There'll be 1,000 people.
Yeah, it's Monday morning and the spooze is down, you know, 35 handles and we don't know what to do and then there we go, yeah.
Well, I'm saying is I don't... If God help us, there's 1,000 people killed over there...
Can we talk about the market for a second?
Well, I'm saying, my point is there a chance this becomes a piece of the market? I'm trying to figure out.
That's what I'm trying to get to.
All right.
Market is poised for that. Look at that decline line. Look at breadth thrust. Look at McClellan-Oscillator. Mind you, for both SPX and NDX, not just the SPX. The amount of, and then look at Russell, look at transportation. Okay? I feel like I'm preaching to a choir, but you know how many times I've talked about these orders of things, how these play. Look at the chart in October of 2018. That was the peak in Russell on transportation. Look how many new peaks we have made in SPX and NDX. Really? Is it possible? Look at where we peaked on advanced declines a month and a half ago. If these don't show up, you're seeing a fantasy. The SPX, the levels of SPX and NDX are a fantasy. You're watching a movie. It's not real. Remember, War Games. The guy who had come up with that computer. And it was now they put in an island that circulated. Says, this is a fantasy. It will happen. This is what's going to happen. And we've been short, but we're doing defined risk. So we're doing put spread. Yes, we're taking it in the past. I understand that. We're losing pennies. But look what happened yesterday. Look the day before. And I don't know where the market is right now. I got to take a look.
Spoons are up 4.25.
It is poised to pull down. The issue, as before, always is, hey, I'm by the way, banking on nationally now. I stepped down 1 point. I'm number 2 in the country, not number 1 with Tommy Digest as of the last report, but here's what I'm trying to say. We are poised for a dam to break. And watch out. Is it going to be like last December? I don't know. Who knows? But where we are, I've told all my clients, get rid of your Bauer stocks. Reduce your high beta stocks. If you have to be in the stocks, okay, especially if you're younger, yeah, you better have something that's got good dividend pay and got a solid product. Don't go with $2,000 stocks. You can't be being in Amazon or the world because those are going to take the deep brunt of this excess.
Well, Farry, when you were a little bit late, I was talking about I put an awful lot of people's money to work last January, February, obviously the new year and so forth. And I had conversations with all kinds of people, and some people they liked the dividends and they thought the oil companies or the energy companies were running behind. They wanted to be in there. And other people felt that the Russell was lagging and for us to go much further, the Russell had to wake up and do something.
Right.
And some people did the S&P and some people did the Qs.
Right.
The people who did the Qs are happy as clams. The people who did the Russell's up like $1 on the whole year. The XLE has gotten its ass kicked, so they're down and they're not happy. And the people in the S&P are moderately happy. Because they're not up as much as they think they should be with Apple and the rest of the things. So, it's been, when people look at these new records, they're new records for 10 stocks. I mean, and if you're not in them, you're not really participating. I mean, it's been like that for kind of a while, but you and I have been around long enough, there have been times when that was a gold mine for you and me, because all we would do is run around and find the places that hadn't participated yet and buy there, and 2 weeks from now, they would go up, but now they don't. These energy stocks are going nowhere. Oil's up 10%, and the stocks are down from when they were up 10%.
Yeah. Well, biotech came back recently up, but it's up to very recently. they're in terrible shape. And then the energy, technology's got beaten up several times for different reasons. Again, to me, is advanced decline. I read the tea leaves. I don't care about one big name. I may trade that option on that, but that does not for me as a proxy for what the market is going to do. The tea leaf says there's a bearish divergence. Look at this. Look at that. Just if you keep on looking, there is just too much. Listen, we hit on our proprietary SP2 indicator, which is yet to fail me since 1995. It hit 91. The design limit is 100. At 75, we're overbought. If you go back, all the peaks we had in the last 2 years, we were not hitting 91.
Okay, private debt. I caution you.
And the rollover was steep and violent.
As you know, I'm always worried for my clients. That's what I do. I worry about the downside because that's what they pay me to do.
Right.
To make sure. But now, I will caution you one thing.
Yes, sir.
In terms of timing, I agree with what you're saying 110%. I'll be like one of the idiots that do football. He's giving 110%. Well, no, you can't give more than 100%, you moron.
Right.
Anyway,
exactly.
I'm going to say that you're not, even though your chairman, Powell, told me not to look at this anymore last week, you're bucking against a 9% money supply growth. We're pouring money at the end of the day, there's money sitting on everybody's desk, and they got to do something with it. Well, they're not going to give it to you or me.
Until the callus comes, we can't stomach the news.
I understand it, but I mean, right now, today...
A couple of exit doors.
I mean, a day like yesterday, we were down, what, 25 spoop points? You can't assume...
I remember 22 vividly. Yeah. Listen, we covered... You guys get the report. You get the
right
emails. We got... We went override our limits, okay? We were at 3090, what we're looking for. We got 3091 print. I went in there with a manual override and said, exit now. At least 75%. Usually we do 80% at the target. We'll close it. At least 75%. Because in 2 days we got there. Hello, let's get out of this.
Yeah, well, my point is, and everybody knows, it's listen to me forever, I never give trading advice on the air. It never will. But right now, if you don't feel that if you happen to catch one of these down moves like yesterday, that everybody's worried about Larry Kudlow running down to the end of the driveway, and don't worry, we're going to have a deal by the end of the day.
Let me get my violin, too.
For you not to cover something, if you take 20 points out of the spoos and think there's going to be follow-through the next day, someday there's going to be it, but it's going to be a while. For you not to take that profit, you're out of your mind.
You're trading the pit. You know how you operate and what people like yourself operate. You get handed a gift like that. You take it.
Yeah.
You wait. Your bias has not changed. No, not in a few hours.
Right.
But you wait for another peak, and then you short that one. And it could be today. It could be tomorrow. You know, whatever. But what you do is that you basically it's a multiplier effect on your money. Versus a buy and hold. Buy and hold is dead. Look at people who buy and hold. We've gone nowhere. If you took money, if you put money at SPX 2 years ago today, and where you are today, hardly have changed. To go to the chart.
That's right.
It's the buy and hold, because what? I see the Time and Digest. We have 110 people, 120 people doing the S&Ps. Okay. The guys who've been long from like 2017, a little bit after, before the tax cut, they're not even close to me. Not even close. Why? Long and short. Long and short. You gotta be tactical. This strategic buy and hold. We gotta buy for 10 years. Forget it. That's for kids. That's the last generation.
But you have to.
So much 20th century.
You have to.
You gotta be tactical.
You gotta take
a look at your, when you get to your extremes. Why? Because Wall Street has to survive. The house has to survive. Remember the movie Casino? The house has to survive. So when it gets too far, they're gonna start back down. Some panic is created, you go down there, and then when it's very cheap, they buy it themselves, then tell you, maybe you should want to come in. But you don't want it as a mom-and-pop. Mom-and-pop doesn't want to come in, and they need proof. Where do they get the proof? Near the top. Then they come in at the top, buy these guys out. Always. Mom-and-pop, buy at the top, sell at the bottom.
But you're looking at individual stocks, Barry, that have carried the day. And the individual stocks in the last 6 months.
Like what, Amazon?
Well, they're down from their... Or I'm talking about...
That's my point.
Well, but
this is the biggest part of the index.
All right. Well, Apple.
Okay, Apple has been good. Yes. Microsoft has done reasonably well.
Right. Yeah. Microsoft, Walmart, the Disney. You have to pick. I mean, right now, at the beginning
these
of the year...
These are not a big part of S&P, SP. Yeah.
But I know
market
that...
Market cap is in there.
I know, but I'm saying early in the year, we had some clients in Apple. Stock was 161, I remember. Now it's 265, and we're talking about a massive... Yeah. Well, okay, now, at 161, I guess the risk was to the upside, okay? But now, at 265, you see Trump and the other guy... Cook wandering around this plant. This thing is fully priced. If these guys screw up or the Chinese don't like them, I think the chance of 50 down versus 50 up might be a little higher here at 265. But that doesn't mean it's not going to keep going up. I mean, you have to be very narrowly focused, like you're saying. That's really hard to do, Farney.
I know. Listen, I've never worked this hard. In terms of, I don't mean hours. I'm talking about intensity.
Yeah.
I try to work a couple hours of trading a day, no more, and maybe an hour or two of analysis. But now they're so intense, absolutely intense. I mean, it's just so much you have to look at, so much you have to prep. I mean, you know Marcus, which is, I work with him closely. Mark, I'm so impressed by him. What a dedicated soul. This guy preps like there's no tomorrow, as if nuclear war is coming every day. And the amount of stuff he reads and manages and covers you and come back and says, "Hey,
all right, Farney, we got to dash, buddy.
It's amazing.
We'll talk about it.
Paul's got to do. You think average mom and pop can do that?
No, we got to dash, Farney. We'll talk about it next week, buddy. Take care of yourself.
We'll catch you next week.
SP futures up 350. NASDAQ futures up 9. Come back, Mr. David Adelman.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, Give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Law and Order page, Stocks and Jocks. She's AV and the board of Mr. David Animal in the second. SP Futures up 3.25 now. Dow Futures up. Dow Futures are, I'll get those in a second, but right now we've got the, NASDAQ Futures up 650. Dow Futures up 29. Macy's is down 80 cents. It came out on their earnings. What's interesting, I'll ask David about this. All these marijuana stocks yesterday, all of a sudden really got a goose. We're up huge and we're up again this morning. We'll talk about that in a little bit. I don't know, we don't know much about them. I don't, but other than the fact they were way down and then now they're up. The DAX down 7 points, call that flat. FTSE down 52.7%. That's a pretty good move. CAC around down 5, call that flat. Big news is over in Asia. Nikkei down 109, it's 0.5%. Shanghai down 7, it's 0.2%. Hang Seng's the big one, down 422, 1.6%, as Marco Rubio's bill supporting the Hong Kong demonstrators passed the Senate. We have the bond yields, 1.75, up 0.01. Bund minus 0.33, Japan minus 0.11, so no real change anywhere there. Gold down 5 bucks, 1469. Silver down 5 cents. We've got oil up 33 cents, back up over 57, 57.34. We got Brent 62.65, natural gas 253. RBOB gas, actually up a little bit, 165. It's been 161 too, so it's up 3 cents from last week. AV, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports. The weather is no good.
Weather is no good indeed. It is 46 degrees right now outside, which is not bad, but it is really, really rainy and windy, about up to 40 miles per hour wind. And the rain will remain till afternoon. Then the day will stay cloudy and windy with the highest of 54 and the lowest 29. In Phoenix, 53 degrees right now. Few thunderstorms are expected throughout the day. Overall, the day remaining cloudy and the highest is 62, the lowest 51. In traffic, looks like that reported stalled truck is gone on I-90, but the traffic volume is only getting heavier. Same accident on Tri-State on I-294 North before Cermak Road, which is blocking three lanes and you a rollover car, which causing solid traffic. No more traffic, no more accidents reported, just be aware of solid traffic, probably causing you rain, the weather conditions, also a lot of constructions going throughout the city. Evans West, Stevenson North, Lakeshore Drive going north, pretty tied up at this moment. And in sports, we have Bulls that beat Pistons.
There you go, Pistons.
Pistons, I got it. 109-89. Chief?
So when you take apart the motor of your car, if you don't have a car, what do you find in there? You find pistons.
I still don't get it.
Oh, God.
I don't drive. I don't watch football.
Oh, God. David, what do you think?
You find pistons. Yeah. I'm not a car junkie. I don't know. I know where the engine is and the battery, but that's about it, and the hoses and the fluids, and that's about it.
Well, the piston is the thing that goes up and down and makes the car move, obviously.
Tell me, where is the pistons from?
The pistons are in the middle of the motor.
No, the pistons,
that's the name of the basketball team from Detroit, because Detroit is the motor city, so.
Is it?
Well, that's where cars used to be. That's where Henry Ford. And, well, it's still.
You still got Ford and GM, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, they're still pretty much there. I don't know, where's Chrysler in main office now? I mean, they're probably still in Detroit. Well, they were in New York for a long time, weren't they? I don't even know since Fiat bought them.
I don't know.
So, David, Fire and I were talking a little bit. First of all, do you have any idea why all of a sudden these marijuana stocks are hot as can be as of yesterday?
Canopy gave a little bit of positive forward guidance, and then Curaleaf, which is, I don't know exactly, but I know they're a big retail chain in Canada, and they got licenses for medical in Florida, and then presumably when Illinois goes to recreational and possibly Florida. I didn't get the exact gist, but I know they were interviewing the CEO of Curaleaf, and he said that they're cash flow positive, and they expect actually to turn a profit next year. So between Canopy and Curaleaf, I guess that, you know, kind of pin action, as they refer to, you know, spread to Tilray and the and Aurora and some of the others.
Yeah, I got the CGC up on my screen. I think it was 15:30 on Wednesday. Now it's 18:80. That's a good move.
Yeah, 20%.
Yeah, that's a good move. Wow, I was trying to pile on.
It was beaten down. I mean, that thing was what, $45 at one point.
I'm going to say 52-ish.
Holy cow!
Last year, yeah. Yeah, so they're down.
Yeah, 52.74.
Yeah,
52-week high.
So interesting. Yeah, I was trying to. I think I succeeded. Got some information out of Fari. What I'm a little nervous here, and I don't know how to handicap it, David. We've been going back and forth on this China deal ad nauseum now for what, a year and a half, pretty much. You know, it's a good deal if everything runs up. It's a bad deal if everything runs down. And as you know, I've been pissed off about all the people I think are front running it and all that kind of stuff. I am getting a little itch. This Hong Kong thing that is not going away, and all of a sudden, us, and I'm not saying we shouldn't, I actually agree with it, essentially saying, look, lay off these protesters and blah, blah, blah. And I mean, that's, you know, obviously we side with the people in Hong Kong, I believe. I know I do. But now the Senate came across with this thing they passed, Marco Rubio's bill, and
two bills, I heard.
Yeah, two. Well, there was one original one, and now I guess this other one, I'm not sure, I haven't read it, but I don't know what it says, but and Kevin will probably know tomorrow, but the point being is that we're starting to get, it's at some point here, is the Hong Kong situation going to, I use the bridge term, going to trump the negotiations to where, hey, screw you guys, and don't let your aircraft carriers come anywhere near us with doing what we want in Hong Kong. I mean, I'm not saying we shouldn't. I agree with what we're doing, but we're in this fray a little bit now, and if some Monday we walk in and there's 1,000 people dead over there, what are we going to do?
No, I agree. And I don't think it's in the future. I think it's now. What surprised me a little bit was off of Reuters News and Dow Jones and whatever, they say that Trump is likely to sign both bills, which, you know, that doesn't, you know, maybe in his mind that, you know, increases his leverage because, you know, we're going to stand behind those folks, you know, and whatever, and who knows, even somehow, some way, politically or UN or whatever, intervene. I think it weakens his hand. I mean, I think that China is going to take that stance of, you know what, Britain signed it over after the 99-year lease. Quote, I mean, not that they don't have some independence, especially as far as financial markets and the like, but they're ours, you know, to euphemize the discussion, and, you know, stay out, and you know what, that phase one deal, even a stripped down version, see ya.
Well, yeah, I'm saying these are like, they're the black swans that you think might be in the roadway at night, right?
I think that the market has, and this is not necessarily, you know, I've thought for a little bit, you know, for 3-4 weeks at least, that market needs, technically and otherwise, needs and deserves at least a 2 to 4 to 5% correction. It hasn't come, little bits and pieces, and then it roars back. But I just think that, you know, the market has discounted. If you look at the multiple expansion, I mean, Target's a star performer, and I don't own it, and I'm certainly not short it. It looks awesome, but you know, it's trading at a multiple of 10, and now it's 19, and you know, Apple the same way, you know, with 1% increase in earnings, you know, the issue's up, you know, whatever, 67% from the bottom. I just think without a lot of earnings, we've had huge multiple expansion. Some of it justified because of, you know, easy Fed and money pumping by, you know, money supply and the like, stock buybacks and, you know, the like. And
David, what part of you are not supposed to look at that anymore? Didn't you hear from your chairman?
No, I get it. I get it. But, I mean, so some of that multiple expansion is deserved, but I don't know, you know, if you multiply PEs by twice with the lack of earnings, if it's justified.
Well, I would agree. I don't know that you can possibly place in a... I mean, how can you just... Certainly, if Apple is your leader and Nike is your leader, how do you price in a screw you from China? A total screw you?
I don't know. And my thought is if Apple doesn't get, you know, whatever, an exemption, exclusion, whatever you want to call it, from tariffs, you know, via Trump's visit to Austin yesterday... I mean, I think they're right in the sight lines. Nike, I don't know, but it sure seems like the way they've moved sourcing and, you know, one way or the other, the folks that want it, even in China, pay up because it's just a unique thing to have, and the models change so often that they don't have the saturation aspect that Apple does. I'm not saying Nike's immune, of course not, but I think they're shielded a lot more than Apple is.
Okay, I mean, the interesting to see if Apple gets this special dispensation, as they used to say in the Catholic Church.
Right.
and the, how much of...
Pass the hat around for construction?
No, it usually would come in terms of somebody would schedule the Notre Dame Club of Chicago dinner at a big hotel on a Friday night and forget to look as they ordered up chicken or whatever, rubber chicken, that it was 2 days into Lent and you're not supposed to eat meat on Friday. So one of the priests would go up and he'd say, all right, since we got chicken on everybody's plate, I'll give everybody a dispensation for Friday. If you feel that strongly about it, don't eat meat tomorrow or something like that. You know, it's like you guys. If you got to travel somewhere on a Saturday, just, hey, stay home tomorrow if it's worth that much to you. I mean, it's sort of the same thing.
You're not supposed to ride to temple, but, you know, since it's pouring down rain or snow, we'll give you an allowance this time.
Yeah, we'll walk back and forth twice next Saturday. but I'm saying, what about the other, the thing that is amazing about the difference between the POTUS's morality and way of doing business and mine, and by the way, he's very successful, he's a president, for God's sakes. So I'm not saying that my way or the highway at all, but if I did that for somebody, the first thing that would hit my brain would be, there's got to be 50 other companies that if I met with them, could sing just the same song, how they're being spectacularly put out versus everybody else. Everybody would tell you the same thing. But this guy, oh no, I met with one guy, I agree with him, I'm screwing him with the tariffs. You're screwing everybody with the tariffs. I mean, the idea, I mean, not even, I don't, you know, I'm a little bit of a student of some Roman history, not even Caesar would do that, you know.
And he sits back. I mean, I don't know if you saw the interviews in Austin, you know, with Tim Cook, but, I mean, he sat there and he says, you know, I don't really need a deal. They want a deal much more than I. The same refrains. And, you know, hey, I'm satisfied. We're collecting hundreds of billions in tariffs. Hundreds of billions. I mean, the guy's out of his mind.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to numbers, it's hard to imagine which politician is more out of their mind.
I mean, all of them.
I mean, there needs to be like a calculator standard issue when you get elected anything. I mean, it's like...
It's unreal.
You know what I'm going to do for you, David? I'm going to go and get you actually with the... Now, here's what I don't understand, and maybe I can get an informed judgment out of you. As of this year, tariff tax revenue is $69 billion. 69,352. This is from the debtclock.org. Now the question is, with all the increases, there always were tariffs.
Right.
Now, if this is the total, how much of the 69 billion you think are new ones versus old ones? I mean, if there hadn't been any increases at all, what would this number be? 10, 20, 30? I
have no idea. My guess would be somewhere between 10 and 20, but it's totally a guess.
Well, I mean, there's always been tariffs on sugar, right?
Some alcohol, I think.
Some alcohol.
Some luxury goods.
Some luxury goods. I mean, I think doesn't French perfume always have a tariff on it or something?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, there's been some. I know the ones that always had the big protection were sugar. And, I mean, do we have any... I think we got tariffs on wood, too, right? Otherwise, well,
European cars?
I think our biggest ones are on lumber from Canada.
Uh-huh.
Would to protect our industry at least a little bit. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in business with all the so much cheaper to produce up in Canada. I'm saying I'd like to have another column here that says, you know, new tariffs 40, old tariffs 29. I mean, I don't know what that number is.
Whatever way you slice it, it's not hundreds of billions.
No, it's definitely not. And the Chinese aren't paying it. That's the other flat-ass lie, basically.
Well, evidently, like I said, for just anecdotally from the two folks I met at that one, you know, event, evidently here or there, I can't tell you if it's 10% or 20%, like on furniture or whatever. Evidently, I thought it was zero. They do have, I don't know if it's actual dollars where they write a check to the U.S. Treasury or in just discounts or whatever. Evidently, there is a contribution. I don't know what percentage is. It's not 50. Is it 10 or 20? I'd say probably yes.
You mean from the other side?
Yes.
I'm going to say it totally depends on what it is you're buying.
Right. No question.
Well, but it's still not, if somebody lowers their price,
right,
to make it even,
right,
when the person here pays the tariff,
right,
the person here still pays the tariff.
Right, no, I get what you're saying.
I mean, if you, I mean, how can I say this? If you and I were teaching an economics class, God, that would be awful, wouldn't it?
You could do it.
We would say, suppose the state of Illinois, which they sort of just did, gas is... picking easy numbers. Gas is $2.50 a gallon, okay? If they add 20 cents tomorrow and to the price of gas, now given the fact there's other states and something, it probably will not be $2.70. It'll be $2.68, $2.68.5, whatever, somewhere in there, maybe $2.67. Because it is a curve. It's not just a straight line. And then let's put it this way, the price of gasoline is not elastic. You know, people, there will be slightly less gas purchased at $2.70 than there was at $2.50, despite what all the knuckleheads on TV will say.
Right.
So now the oil company and the gas station guy, between the two of them, they're gonna quote eat 2 cents. All right, but they're not paying it to the state. You are. You're paying 20 and they're now only getting $2.48. It's not the same is them paying the tariff, as the president says.
Right.
But he's got a much bigger Twitter following than we do, so I'm not so sure that our explanation is going to fall on everybody's ears like his does. That's the idea of the big lie, David, right? It has to come from somebody that you normally want to believe.
Right.
And so Fari is talking about, he's got some machine that says the design limit is 100, and normally cells are 75, and he's at a 95. Because you look at advanced declines and look at some parts of the market, they're not any more than they were 2 years ago, and blah, blah, blah. And he's thinking we're at a tippy top here, or close. And I said, well, Fari, you can't fight, 9% increase in the money supply either. It's going to be, you're probably going to be right, but it's going to happen later than you think it's going to happen. So I don't know who's right here. I mean,
No, I've pointed that out. The technicals, the oscillators, and stochastics, and deviation from moving averages and whatever have suggested, this quote-unquote correction or needed correction or healthy correction or anything you want to, or a top, for weeks. And every time, the S&P goes down 9, 10, 12, 15 handles, it roars back. So it's the same old story. You can say, hey, it's gotta come. But like you said, when?
It can be, sort of at any time. Is there any, you guys look at, when I say you guys, technical people in general, I know you look at a lot of things I'll look at stuff differently than the other dudes, but it seems to me, and I think you might agree, that whenever the market gets narrower and narrower and narrower, like it did in 2000, and it's all one industry or 10 stocks or whatever doing all the, you know, carrying
heavy
all
lifting.
The weight. What?
The heavy lifting.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like every sell-off is preceded by that happening. But I don't know any way to say it's tomorrow or today or next week. Does it just happen? Or, I mean, is there any way where...
No, there is. I mean, and we've been through that before. Market gaps higher, finishes on the lows, and gaps lower the following day. Makes an outside day reversal, make an outside day, an outside week reversal. I mean, a lot of times, especially S&P, more than any market that I can remember, is it does one of these things where it's up, you know, 25 handles, and then all of a sudden, literally in the last hour, you know, it's up four handles, and so it hasn't made a technical reversal of sorts, but there's something, you know, all the baskets of, you know, mutual funds that, you know, 245 our time, you know, are dumping in the last 15 minutes or whatever, then all of a sudden you open lower and it continues down. It's kind of like a sign of exhaustion, but those last hour plays against the daily trend are typical of market exhaustion.
Let me put a number
on
it.
And we haven't really seen that yet.
Well, I'll put a number on it, and then I got to read you what our buddy Kenny Polcari wrote this morning about this Charles Schwab thing. Let's say in 2000, the five biggest stocks at the time, help me with this, and would have been Microsoft, Cisco, Oracle, Dell, and Intel. And they got up to 48% or something of the QQQ, right?
Okay.
And then we friggin' collapsed. The thing went from 120 to 20 or something. Well, last year, people were talking about the five now biggest stocks. Microsoft's the only one that's still there, by the way. You know, it would be the Apple, Facebook, Google. They got to be 48%, and then we, you know, fell off last year. Does that 48 mean anything, or not really? And next time it could be 52, it could be 60. Is it just a number? Does it become? It's not really a market average. It's not really anything that you would look at.
I think it's relevant and non-relevant.
That's what I mean.
I don't mean to be facetious, but yeah, I think it's relevant because when five stocks, you know, comprise half of a major index, that, you know, every ETF manager and every, you know, portfolio manager watches for direction or whatever, and somebody says, oh, geez, you know, the S&P's up, you know, 24% for the year, isn't that awesome? Or the NASDAQ's up, you know, 45% or whatever it is. And you know it's five stocks, and unless you own those five stocks, if you took the unweighted and you get, you know, up 6%, that's a significant difference because the breadth of the market isn't there, and the cushion if those five turn is not there as well. So it's significant that way. But I, it's irrelevant from the number. It could just as easily be 49 or 50 or 51 or 52. Even if it's 40, I think it's still significant. But the number itself isn't relevant, and the fact that over time the five stocks or four stocks or even if it's 10 stocks that comprise that, you know, huge number change. So it's relevant in the fact that it displays a lack of market breadth and market cushion if the trend changes, but the number itself, I think, is irrelevant.
All right, we don't have much time. I'll read you this from Kenny. Charles Schwab cut commissions to zero 1 month ago, sends the retail industry into a tailspin. TD Ameritrade loses 28% of its value, and then Charlie comes back this morning and makes a lowball bid for the place.
Right.
Capitalism at its best.
Yep.
I hope the regulators.
Someone was talking this morning. Well, the only way you make is with scale. You know, somebody along the way is getting paid. I mean, unless they're all getting paid for order flow or sending everything to dark holes. You know, I know there's margin interest, and I know there's, you know, spread on unused funds. I know that they're not going out of business. They couldn't make these, you know, these M&A ventures, but you know, the more transactions you have, if you're not making anything or, in fact, you're losing something, I don't get where scale really helps you.
I think the payment for order flow is out of hand. But I think that even in the best days of commissions, when we were still on the floor, David, the you looked at the Southwest Securities, which is a big clearing agent at the time. All of well over 50% of their earnings are always interest.
Right.
I mean, even now. I mean, what?
Oh, sure.
What,
well,
what people
probably the whole thing.
The only place that gives you a break on interest is IB.
Right.
And we clear through those guys, but the rest of the places, you're paying 6.5% and they're paying you half. You know,
if that.
It's a still no. How many more? How much more money does the world have to put in the world before this gold starts to move, dude?
I think it's really more a factor of, you know, real inflation and basically interest rates. How much does it cost the store?
Oh, that's true. Okay, buddy. Talk to you next week.
Okay.
SP Futures up 50 cents now only. NASDAQ Futures down 2, so very little going on. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.